This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Nope.
People really thought it was Mark that time without
yet again, away, no Mark Bertrand. Just Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. For the Xbox One postgame show, coming off a 17-9 Buffalo Bills victory.
First ever at
Gillette Stadium. Snaps a 35-game home winning streak for the Patriots against AFC opponents. And I'm sure there are a lot of other negative firsts for New England today.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, I'm here to tell you right off the go, utterly meaningless. Andy Hart?
I was just thinking it was kind of appropriate that Beetle wasn't here, and you and I did the pregame show, and we'll do the postgame show alone. It's like, you know, all the starters sat out. Gronk didn't play.
Reed, cool. Yeah.
Bertrand didn't play. So yeah. That make us like Jimmy Garoppolo and, I don't know, some other backup.
The offensive line backups who didn't play.
I want to be considered a decent or, you know, competitive.
Oh.
Those guys didn't work.
That's a good point. Obviously, not a whole lot of what we saw today, and we talked about it throughout the pregame show.
Well, let's not bury the lead.
No.
Brady, Gronkowski, and Revis all appear to be healthy leaving this game. Okay, let's move on.
Well, I said not a lot. What I was going to say was not a lot that happened today will have much of a bearing over what happens in the next the next month.
Those guys leaving healthy means you have a chance to get to the Super Bowl.
Correct. You got out of the game with very little in terms of things to worry about. There were some things, however, that were, I think, worth talking about, and we probably should just lead it right off and get into the good, the bad, and the ugly that Beta likes to lead the show off.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
Andy, we had a lot to choose from today because there were a lot of different players that played in the game. You mentioned the first and foremost, we both had our key to the game was basically staying healthy. I would say, best good element of the game you already talked about. Tom,
yes.
Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Darrelle Revis. Gronkowski didn't play at all. Brady played just the first half, and Revis played just the first half, and all three of those gentlemen are fine and accounted for, despite Brady getting sacked and also being forced into converting a quarterback sneak. I could have done without that, Andy. I don't know how you felt about it. Deep in their own end, late in the first half.
Yep.
I wouldn't have had any problems if they just decided to hand the ball off, and if they got it, they got it. If not, who cares?
Could have been a James Devlin opportunity.
So that's, to me, first and foremost in terms of things that were good. Let's move on to some of the other ones. This is a little bit more of your territory, so I'm going to open it up to you a little bit.
Well, I'm going to say Jamie Collins, and not just for, you know, I thought he was his normal self. I didn't look at his stats, but that one play where he had the pressure, Orton kind of shrugged him off, made a miss, and he just kept right on going like a spiraling top.
And he
came
got knocked
right back
down.
Around.
He ended up on the ground, too, on that play.
And jumped back up, caused not only the strip sack, but then lunged, reached that big long arm of his out, and had the recovery there. So just in terms of pure athletic plays, and Hightower did not play, so Collins was sort of the man in the middle and playing out there with Casillas and some of those guys. I thought Jamie Collins had a nice effort. I was just going to check his statistics. Five tackles. Where am I? Five tackles, the sack, the quarterback hit, the forced fumble, the fumble recovery. That's one of those all-in-one plays. But Jamie Collins continues to display his athleticism, versatility, and I'm intrigued to see where he goes in the postseason.
Yeah, I think he is making that jump that we all talked about in the offseason. I think he's making it right now. I think the last month and a half or so, he seems to be at a different level. Remember earlier in the year, he looked like a guy you could run at. You know, he seemed like a guy that could get overpowered against the run. Not anymore. That play, that particular play that you're talking about, it was as good a football play as you'll see. Missing the initial sack, bouncing up, showing the athleticism to quickly get back on his feet and close the ground, and then get the strip sack, and then not an easy fumble recovery. There were a lot.
Nope.
I think Chandler Jones tried to scoop and score and ended up flipping over the pile. It looked like a Bill or two had their hands on it from that point on, and then Jamie Collins ends up gathering it in. That was as good a football play as you'll see. Other good things today, I want to stick with some of the guys, you know, more of the frontline guys before I move on to some of the guys that flashed as, you know, in backup roles. But I thought I totally lost my train of thought. I had a guy that I wanted to talk about, and now I totally forget. This is the stuff that we didn't do in the pregame show, I think we might be doing in the postgame show, Andy. Because when the Patriots didn't take the game overly seriously, I'm having a hard time taking the postgame show as seriously as I probably should.
Would you like me to chime in with anything?
Chime in with somebody for me.
Well, I will give you a couple things. I will chime in with Brandon LaFell, who every time I watch him, and this is kind of a season award, he's just better at almost everything that I was told about him than I expected coming in. You know, they're running end-arounds to him. You don't usually run end-arounds to the backup blocking tight end, right? You know, I think he's a little faster than I gave him credit for. I think he's has a little more explosiveness than I gave him credit for. I definitely think his hands are better than I gave him credit for. He's not perfect, but nobody is. But he has better hands than I thought he did. And he's a guy, he limped off at one point today, but returned later. He's a guy that I think if you lost him, you'd be missing. And he's better than I gave him credit for coming into this season.
Yeah, that's true. I would definitely put him on the list of things that were good. Sticking with the receivers, and I wanted to try to get more of the frontline guys out of the way first, you know, I will get one out. I thought we saw, first of all, it was a positive development that LeGarrette Blount was active in this game.
Sure.
Because he had the shoulder injury last week. And then I thought you saw, you know, that stretch of the third quarter there where I felt the reasons why I believe he's better than Jonas Gray sort of illustrated themselves in a 3 or 4 carry stretch where he was running stretch plays to the Patriots sideline, to the right sideline, going toward the lighthouse end. That long run that he had, I think it was a 34-yard run, Andy, the
yes.
patience on that play, and it just happened to open up for us perfectly because we're right behind that angle, and we could see it. If he was too quick on that play and got to the edge right away, maybe with a 3 or 4 yard gain. But he allowed that whole play to develop. I thought the fact that he was active, and then I thought he had some spring in his step, I thought, moved the pile consistently. Early on, he didn't have a lot of room to run. He was just getting buried like he had been last week. And I don't think the numbers were great. I mean, you take out that 34-yard run, I don't think he had a very good day today.
And 9 for
statistically.
28,
So for the most part, they held him in check. But I just thought, A, the fact that he was healthy enough to be out there in a meaningless spot, and B, the fact that he showcased that big playability that we all like. That kind of run today in the third quarter, that's the kind of play that can change a playoff game. Just, you know, cheap yards, 35-yard run out of nowhere. So I put him on the list. Brian Timms I would put on the list of good today, too. I thought he showed the ability to get open, so some sticky hands. Made some nice hands
sure.
catches.
And made some traditional receiver plays.
Correct. Not just running down the sideline. Made some plays today in an every down role. And
yep.
by the way, 4 catches from Brady. You know, so it wasn't like he just was mopping up in you know, with Garoppolo in the second half.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some bad in frontline guys
that we
need to get to as well. But, you know, I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has some good to add to that. We'll certainly take that as we hit the
I don't think they will.
As we hit the Ace Ticket hotline and whatnot. Again, webradio@patriots.com. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Or, as always, the Ace Ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's move on to the bad, Andy. And I don't know where you want to start, but.
Well, I think we'll start on the offensive line.
The offensive line, to me, is a major concern.
Whether you start with Josh Klein or Marcus Cannon, or, and this kind of goes over into our third category, but Nate Solder not only struggled but got hurt on a play when he got beat and had to hold Jerry Hughes, then left with a knee injury, did not return. Now, it's a meaningless game, so the did not return is kind of meaningless.
Right.
But I don't want a guy that's already been struggling for the last month now dealing with any sort of injury that could hamper him in any way. But Josh Klein... You know, I wrote this, and it'll be on the blog in a little while. You know, he was a guy that seemed like he was sort of on that ascension in the developmental program last spring, summer, off season. ever since then, he has not played well. And I think he's probably playing himself out of any future playing time. He struggled again, got yanked, then came back in when they sort of made wholesale changes in the second half. But they have an issue with their
depth.
They have their issue with their first line, no matter what. But then the backup offensive linemen are a concern.
It was an absolute jailbreak on every pass attempt in the second half, and you were operating with a front of Marcus Cannon at left tackle, Josh Klein at left guard, Stork and Wendell in their normal spots, and then Cameron Fleming on the right side, and poor Garoppolo was running for his life throughout the last 30 minutes, and I don't know how he avoided some of those sacks. You know, and he got sacked plenty as it was, you know. So,
three times, yes.
Three times?
Yes.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more than that, if not for his elusiveness and ability to somehow get himself out of some of those situations. So I agree with you. That, to me, is the top bad on my bad list. That's something to monitor. The depth on the offensive line is becoming, I think, a real, real concern. And the fact that Conley's missed two games now, and now you have Solder dealing with some sort of injury, even if it's not overly serious. And I don't know about Vollmer's situation with the back, if that's something that flared up or if that was, as you seem to think, Andy, you know, they just didn't want to play him today and they threw it out there as, you know, another one to even off the questionable list. But definitely something to be concerned about. Other bad things today, I thought after some really strong play from the front seven, you take Dante Hightower out of that group, and they got run on a little bit in the first half of this game.
Yeah, very much in the first half. 4.1 yards to carry, 65 yards, and you know, got no long runs. It was all just 5-6 yard runs, consistently sort of moving the chains. And the disappointing part is it was Vince Wilfork, Rob Ninkovich, Chandler Jones, and one of those other guys, Alan Branch or Silver Salinga. It was your starting first.
Your starters, minus Hightower. Now,
right.
You had Darius Fleming out there at times. You had Jonathan Casillas out there at times. But
yeah, I see why Casillas is a special team.
Yeah, the rest of those guys, the other six guys with Ninkovich, Jones, Salinga, Wilfork, and Collins, those guys are all starters. And you had times when like the touchdown run, I mean, what was really disappointing is they had the ball first and goal from the 10-yard line, right on the 10. They ran the ball three times for a touchdown, and it was 5-4 in a touchdown. And the touchdown came just Silver Salinga just getting absolutely swallowed up by, I think, Eric Wood. So that was something that caught my eye a little bit in the first half. Now, I thought things were better in the second half when you know, they didn't really have all the starters out there in the second half. Wilfork played into the third quarter. Looked like they got him to a comfortable snap total. I didn't want to cost him any of his incentives, I guess. So some of the starters came out, and Ninkovich and Chandler Jones certainly came out. And I thought things got better against the run, but still something to keep an eye on, because if teams can stay balanced against the Patriots, then all of a sudden you're looking at some situations where I think, and this will be another one of the bads, Andy, maybe a little bit of a less early on, again, tight ends making big plays. With, again, McCourty, Chung, and at times Tavon Wilson was rotating in for Chung. Daron Harmon was rotating in there as well. Looked like they had a three-man rotation depending on who was involved, but you had four corners playing this game and four safeties playing this game, plus in the second half, Nate Ebner played a little bit. The rotations there, I think, are still being worked at beyond McCourty. And obviously today you didn't have Brandon Browner. But tight ends, how much of a concern is that for you? Because I feel like that's a decent concern.
It's always going to be a concern with this team. You know, that was my concern going into the season. Remember the fatal flaw? Could it be that other safety
spot? I remember
that. It hasn't really reared its ugly head all that often this year. But I would also say, just on a lesser level, I just didn't think the defense looked very good overall, and the pass defense in particular. I thought there were a lot of guys running free, not just Chandler, not just the tight ends. It's not ideal for Darrell Revis to match up with Sammy Watkins and allow him to catch a pass and then have McCourty allow it to turn into a big play, 40-something yard play.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of reeked of the Jordy Nelson play in Green Bay, where, you know, Revis isn't getting toasted, but he let a guy catch a pass in man coverage, and then McCourty kind of turns it into a big play with his inabilities. And
that's a good analogy.
Less than ideal.
That's a good comparison,
less
that Jordy Nelson play, because it wasn't terrible coverage.
No.
And it was McCourty coming over, I thought, to exacerbate the problem. And all of a sudden you get a 40-something, I think it was 43 yards or something like that. And, you know, it's 7-0 Buffalo, really, with ease. And then, you talk about with ease, Robert Woods was completely uncovered on the touchdown.
Right.
So, yeah, there's some things that need to be tightened up. I don't want to get too overly concerned with that because of the nature of the game and the nature of the personnel. There were some guys that were key guys that were missing.
Yeah, I just think that
some.
Yes, there were some guys missing, and yes, the game is meaningless. But I always say when the ball is snapped and Revis tries to cover somebody, I generally assume he's trying to cover him.
Oh, yes.
And I generally assume McCourty is trying to tackle the guy, not allow him to – you know what I mean?
Yeah, that particular play didn't have anything to do with backups, unless you want to say they didn't get pressure. And even then, the guys that would be getting pressure were out there.
Right. So I don't just want to completely overlook – even though we call the game meaningless, they were out there playing, the ball was snapped, and you're supposed to compete. So
I agree.
I like how Bill always says it's important for the guys who are on the field. So those guys were on the field. I'm going to say it was important.
And we'll hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady later on in the show. And I'm sure that we're going to get a sort of a dour Belichick because he's not going to be happy that they only mustered 9 points in this game. And the players that ended up having to play in the game didn't perform better. You got anything else you want to add with the bad category before we move on to the injured?
I don't think so. No, I don't want to pile on too many people. The offensive line is a concern. A group thing, and again, I'll be writing this on Patriots.com to give you a tease of the old stock watch, as they like to call it. And by they, I mean me. The starts, you know, starting off slow has now gone on for more than a month. Josh, whether you want to, and I wrote, you know, want to blame Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady, the offensive line, whoever you want to blame, if you start the way you've been starting, you can lose in the postseason. You can dig a hole, and I always joke about this, you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can lose it. If you dig a hole, you might have trouble getting out of it, and I don't like the way they've started for more than a month.
Yeah, and just to update everybody, I know people are probably watching the 4 o'clock games. It looks like right now Baltimore has got the inside track to sneak into that last spot. They have a 20-10 lead, and San Diego is going to lose. They're down 19-7 with 4 seconds left. Pretty sure that you can't get two scores in 4 seconds. Now, whether or not the Ravens are able to hold on with Connor Shaw playing quarterback for Cleveland, that's a tall task. I don't know if they'll be able to do that. But
Ghosts of Patriots playoff past could be coming to Foxborough. The 6-seeded Ravens?
And we'll see what they're able to muster, but they did not have a very impressive performance today, nor did they have a very impressive finish to the season. They had a bad, bad loss last week. So
doesn't matter, Paul.
Oh, it matters.
You don't have to impress. You just have to win.
It matters, yeah. And they are going to win, by the way. They have a 20-10 lead with a minute and a half left here, and they are in the red zone against Cleveland. So they will hold on, and they will make the playoffs. They will be your 6th seed. So just want to update everybody on that.
And so to be clear, what are the other seeds?
I think the winner of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati will be three, and the loser will be 5. I'm not positive on that. That was something I sort of just formulated off the top of my head. But I think that the Colts won. They finished 11-5. The Steelers with a win would be 11-5 and have beaten the Colts. The Bengals with a win would be, they have the tie in there, so it's whatever, 11-4-1.
Okay.
So that's a better record than 11-5. So Cincinnati would have edged out the Colts, because the Colts actually beat Cincinnati, but they won't tie.
So Ravens, NFC North winner.
The AFC North winner is the 3, I believe, and they will host. I think it's going to be an all AFC. Yeah, it's an all AFC North game. It's going to be Baltimore at either Cincinnati or Pittsburgh.
I was just thinking. I know a lot of people have fears of Baltimore coming to Gillette based on past performances here and Harbaugh and Flacco and not being afraid and whatever you want to call it. But that would be certainly not a foregone conclusion that the Ravens are going to win in Pittsburgh or win in Cincinnati to then advance to come to New England.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation. Just watching Houston trying to hold on against Jacksonville here as Cecil Shorts is on the sideline. I don't know how he could possibly be complaining that he's in bounds on this play. His first foot landed about a foot out of bounds.
And for the record, I officially think J.J. Watt should be the MVP.
It's
a muddled year where you don't have any obvious quarterbacks or offensive candidates. J.J. Watt should be the National Football League MVP. today. Although some have argued that Bill Belichick stamped his MVP vote by having Brady and Revis active and playing and not playing Gronkowski, showing how valuable he is.
Now, by those some, would you say you?
No, that was actually brought to my attention via Twitter. But if you wanted, I mean, you could spin that, right? He said he's the most important.
Oh, you can spin anything when it comes to Gronk.
Billy O'Brien getting it done, by the way. Congratulations to Billy O'Brien.
You got Andy and I sort of
we're all
abridged
over
version of this.
Wait, we didn't get the hurt.
Well, Nate, we talked about Nate Solder. Did anybody
Silver
else?
Salinga was helped
Salinga
off
came
late
off a little bit.
With
right.
a strange one where Bill Belichick actually came on the field and early, and then Salinga walked off, which appeared to be an upper body arm type injury. And also Brandon LaFell, as I mentioned, limped off at one point. So a couple seemingly minor injuries, but the biggest, I would say, would be the Nate Solder right knee. I think he's going to be okay. Just, you know, my Dr. Andrews, Dr. James Andrews from afar, it looked like he bruised his knee. He jammed his knee into the turf.
All right. You got our sort of abridged version of what happened today. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We got some calls stacked up here.
Stacked them.
Let's start off with Mike in Rhode Island and see what you guys think of today's game. Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
Well,
how are you doing? What'd you think?
Well, we may have lost the game, but I'll tell you what. We got a little taste of Jimmy the Goat Garoppolo. All right. That third down and 11 where he broke like four tackles and split for the first down, magical. All right.
Magical.
You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people.
I have
people
a feeling I'm going
way.
To annoy people during the course of this
a
week.
A lot
about,
of people
about Garoppolo.
On Twitter were reacting that this guy is special. He has it. I am not willing to go that far. I see plays where I like what he does, and then I see plays where I really don't like what he does. So I am totally an open book and still have to see more from him.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like him as a better backup than Ryan Mallett at this point.
Oh, yes. God, yes. Yes. Now we're all
wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But I look at it in the big picture. If he needs to start 16 games, how good are you? What can you be? At whatever point that
you
comes,
need to,
3 years.
I think you need to be more conventional than he has shown the ability to be. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be.
I don't know. Do they want him to be conventional, or are they going to run the wildcat? Or are they
no,
going
I'm
to
saying
run
when he dropped back and he's throwing a slant pass over the middle, he doesn't want it. They don't want it on the back hip like that. When you're throwing a seam route to the who man down into the end zone, you don't want it short so the defender underneath can get a hand on it. You want it over the top. Those are the conventional plays I think he hasn't shown the ability to make yet.
Brady doesn't have to throw to the who man. He throws to Gronk, who can catch it anywhere. I have to throw to the who
man. My point is, you know, breaking four tackles and avoiding a sack behind the line, and thanks, Mike, is great. His elusiveness and escapability, Russell Wilson does a lot of that. I don't think he has Russell Wilson-like athleticism, but
no.
Garoppolo has shown the ability to be very elusive in the pocket. He did it in the preseason. He showed it today. I'd be a lot more encouraged by his performance if I saw a lot more of the conventional plays being run, as I mentioned in the pregame show, a little bit more conventionally. Have the offense. He had his back to the line of scrimmage too often for my liking today. Now, part of that is he was playing behind a piss-poor offensive line.
True.
That could not protect him. So I'm not willing, like I said before the game, there wasn't a lot that was going to happen today for Garoppolo to make me have any sort of stamp of approval or rejection with him going forward. It's a sort of a meaningless game playing largely like a preseason game in terms of the personnel he was with and around. I'm not going to lose myself in anything really that Garoppolo did. I thought he showed some competitiveness. I like that. Showed some athleticism. I think some of the throws could have been better, and obviously they only put 3 points on the board, so that's not enough.
I called it hectic athleticism.
Hectic athleticism is a great, great word.
And by the way, you know who was a little critical of him on Twitter? Mike Giardi. That tells you how he played. Mike Giardi thinks the guy craps roses.
Yeah, I don't think he was exceptionally good today. I've seen him better in the preseason.
And by the way, my pregame...
He was playing against starters. And
my pregame
he was playing
poll,
with backups.
Well, you know what? When he plays, he'll have to play against starters someday.
Yeah, but maybe he'll
you
be
don't
playing,
always get to play against
maybe
backups.
Maybe he'll be playing with starters,
well,
too.
He was playing with some starters.
Not many. LaFell, Blunt.
Timms.
Stork and Wendell.
The answer to my pregame question, and it was a dogfight down to the end. Jimmy Garoppolo beats Tom Brady 17-16 in attempts in today's game. Jimmy Garoppolo, more attempts than Thomas Brady. Each got a half of action.
All right, let's stick with the Ace Ticket Hotline here and move on to Eric in New Jersey.
Eric!
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are we doing today?
Great, how are you? What'd you think?
I mean, given the circumstances of the game, definitely the O-line. My main concern was I just wanted to see how the O-line performed. I still don't know why what's going on, why things still seem to be groggy, a little bit muddling. And Nate Solder, I mean, can we take back that option, man? This guy's not—he's not even worth that man, coming at this. Yeah, I think he's regressed so much. I think it's—I mean, what's your guys' take on this offensive line moving forward? I mean, this is going to be—I think our Achilles heel moving forward. What do you guys feel on that?
Well, I will say,
thanks, Eric.
You were without arguably your two best offensive linemen today in Sebastian Vollmer and Dan Conley. Now, you shouldn't be
certainly
that way.
Your best in Vollmer.
Solder, I think, has regressed, and you can take back that option that you picked up, but you'd be cutting him, and I'm not sure they're looking to cut ties with him. As I've said all year, I think it became a weird situation where I thought they might extend him at some point, and now
do you really want to extend that guy to a pretty healthy contract?
And I agree with Eric in that I think it has the biggest potential to emerge as the Achilles heel for the team.
Oh yeah,
Most people named
Jerry Thornton agree that.
Andy keeps using the term fatal flaw, and I think that if you go into a playoff game and you don't have the ability to score, you're in a dogfight. Just by definition, you're in a Baltimore Ravens type game. If you're in the low 20s or high teens, and you can then lose to teams that can control you, because I don't care how good you are defensively, it's hard to hold teams down, much below 17 in this league. And the offensive line, I think, has the ability or the potential to derail this offense.
And you are opening yourself up to, much like you did with the Richard Seymour trade, and then the Ravens came in and ran the ball down your bleeping throat to beat you. If the offensive line is the fatal flaw, you're opening yourself up to criticisms of the Logan Mankins trade, especially in light of the idea that, they need that money to sign some extensions. And if you were thinking Solder would be the extension, so you traded Mankins to extend Solder potentially and then decided, I can't extend Solder. You're opening yourself up to a lot of offensive line trade criticism.
Well put. Let's hit up John in North Carolina and stick with the Ace Ticket Hotline here. John, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, can you hear me?
Go ahead, John.
Okay. I'm not judging by today's game, but overall through the season, when I watch other games and compare them to the Patriots, the other quarterbacks have a much, they're sitting back there looking over the field. You don't see that when the Patriots play. I'm not talking about today's game. I didn't see today's game.
Just hang on one second. Got some breaking news off of Twitter from about a minute ago from Mike Reese, and I'll read his tweet as is. Bill Belichick will not hold a regular post-game news conference. Team official says he is with athletic trainers, awaiting more information. And Reese then says that Belichick is expected to hold a conference call with reporters later instead of his regular news conference. We will get more information on that as possible. I will urge Kevin, if you can contact somebody from PR and ask them what message we should be expressing on the Patriots pregame postgame show here, because that's an interesting situation. I wouldn't want to assume anything, quite frankly, at this point, other than Bill Belichick is not holding his annual, his normal postgame press conference and is with trainers.
Athletic trainers.
Yes, that is interesting to me.
That's probably big news.
Yeah.
Well, how
we just said Brady, Revis, and Gronk left the field completely healthy, so your Super Bowl chances are fine. Well, I would have liked to have included Bill Belichick in that, but apparently I should hold off before I say that.
But let me ask you this, though. The fact that Mike adds in that he is expected to hold a conference call later, would that tell you that it's nothing serious? Or maybe,
Well, I also...
Maybe it's not really about him.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is it about him or is it about a player that he's with?
Right.
But I also was not aware of a serious injury to a player that would warrant Bill missing a post-game press conference.
Nor was I.
Because generally that would be a Drew Bledsoe-type situation, a life-threatening or... I don't want to be irresponsible and assume that.
Right. Even if one of the players that got hurt today, tore an ACL.
Right. It's happened a million times.
Yeah. Like, I don't see any reason why that would prohibit him from doing his postgame. But as Andy said, we will do our best to stay on top of that while we're with you here on the Xbox One postgame show. John, why don't you go
nothing
ahead with your
serious,
call.
Nothing serious, quote, according to Stacey James via another tweet from Mike Petralia. So nothing serious.
Okay. Again, we'll continue to monitor as we get more information.
My fear is the offensive line is going to come back to bite us. And I have a stat for you guys. The Ravens have three players, three defensive linemen, that have as many sacks as the whole Patriots team.
So you're concerned about the pass rush.
Wait a minute. Can you say that again?
The Ravens have three defensive linemen
yes.
that have as many sacks combined as the whole Patriots team.
Okay. Well, that's I would doubt that that would be overly uncommon. Three guys combined? I mean, most of your sacks come from a very small amount of players.
But if you combine the top Patriots three guys, you get like 11 and they get 38. You know what I mean? I mean, the disparity is huge.
The Patriots only have 11 sacks?
I don't believe that.
No, I'm saying if you combine the top three.
Right, so if you combine Ninkovich, Ayers, and Chandler Jones.
I got to think that's more than 11.
Yes.
All right, well, how many is it? It's not that.
Like
not
18, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 18 versus 38. That's a big.
Right.
Big
no. I mean,
all right.
The Patriots pass rush.
I don't really care who gets the sacks as long as you get them.
You played half the year without Chandler Jones. You missed seven games, your best sack master. Theoretically, so it's obvious that your numbers are going to be a little down. Now, quite frankly, that led to some of Akeem Ayers' success, so that kind of balanced itself out. But no one's ever going to say that this pass rush has taken off the way I think some had hoped with the arrival of Darrell Revis and the whole theory that, you know, you give us an extra half second, our numbers will be better.
Yeah,
it hasn't been.
John, I apologize for getting caught up in the minutiae. I understand what your larger point is, and I actually agree with it. I know this team does not apply great pressure to the passer, and that is something defensively, you know, you can cover, and they're improved in terms of coverage, but if you want to consistently give quarterbacks time, I thought you saw today Kyle Orton throughout the first half had a lot of time to throw and had a lot of open receivers. In the second half, I thought every time he threw, he didn't have a lot of time. Now, that was probably due to the fact that at least two offensive linemen for the Bills had to leave this game. Craig Urbick and Cordy Glenn both got hurt and left the game. And all of a sudden, in the second half, you started seeing some pressure on him. And, you know, obviously they didn't score any points in the second half. So I agree with you, John. The pressure on the passer for the Patriots, I think, is something that needs to improve.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, I appreciate the call. Let's step aside for our first break here, see if we can get anything updated. We, as Andy said, we will give you as much information on the situation as to why Belichick was not with the not doing the media post-game press conference as normal. It has been deemed not serious by Stacey James, according to some people on Twitter. So we will try to get some information during the break, but we have plenty of time left. Join us on the Xbox One post-game show.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt,
before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Welcome back to the Xbox Live post-game show. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo are going to take you through the bulk of the next hour and a half or so, talking about Patriots, Bills, but also bigger picture stuff, heading to the playoffs. Some of that playoff picture has been crystallized. Baltimore will be the sixth seed, still waiting for tonight's game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati to finalize the 3 and 5 seed. But it'll be New England 1, Denver 2. Actually, Denver has to win, so they don't necessarily have the 2 yet. So I'll hold off on that. Then the winner of the Steelers-Bengals, Colts are locked into the 4 seed, and then we have Baltimore in the 6 seed. What's the matter, Kevin? You got that big smile on your face in there.
No, I'm just laughing because we were talking about Bill's situation, and I just looked, and Brady talked for like 3 minutes.
So we're not going to have a lot of press conferences.
I don't have a lot of time to do my...
Paul and Andy. Not a big sound day.
I don't have a lot of time to do my writing today, huh?
Well, I do. Are you still reading?
Well, let me just get this out of the way. We'll pay some bills, Andy. How's that sound? Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call, and with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league, Andy. I'm going to be looking into this fantasy stuff. I'm hearing a lot about these people winning a lot of money. I'm going to look into that. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Do more. Microsoft, I've got to look into this stuff right here. This could be my ticket out of here. I'm going to get my Microsoft Surface, and I'm going to get online and play weekly fantasy next year.
And then you're going to need to make like $800 to break even after buying Microsoft Surface. In all seriousness, we have no information to really update you on the Bill Belichick situation. We don't know whether it's a situation. Everybody says it's not serious, and yet I would ask, if it's not serious, then why can't he do a press conference? We don't know why he's with athletic trainers. He is now apparently going to do a conference call later this evening at some point. And I just find this, Paul Perillo, I'm going to say, much like Fred Kirsch missing the game, is unprecedented for Bill Belichick to skip the post-game press conference. The only other time I can remember was when his father passed away, and he got out of here pretty quickly.
I do recall.
As is understandable.
I do recall that.
This is deemed not
serious. I
want to
say back in 06-ish, somewhere around that time.
In there. This is deemed not serious, and yet he couldn't do a press conference. So I am really a little bit at a loss for trying to, you know how you immediately go through your head, scenarios, circumstances,
I mean, I think that you wouldn't be human if you weren't sort of trying to, you know, investigate all possibilities in your head. And we don't want to be irresponsible and throw stuff out there that we have no knowledge of. But that's why we're trying to get additional information. We've been told, and people on Twitter are saying, the Patriots themselves, the Patriots Media Relations Department, is saying it's not serious.
Right.
So we'll accept that and move on and update as needed if we find out. History was made just moments ago, Andy. I don't know if you saw this, but Ryan Lindley just threw his first career touchdown pass for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, it took flipping forever.
That was the longest streak in NFL history. Most passes attempted in NFL history without a touchdown. Ryan Lindley, congratulations.
Future Super Bowl MVP. That'd be a great story, wouldn't it? If he won the Super Bowl, not for Patriots perspective, obviously, because that means they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, this year, yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't wrap my head around this, as they say, the Bill Belichick situation. Now it's just overshadowing every thought in my brain. I can't think about the game. I can't think about the playoffs. All I think about is why. Why can't he do a post-game press conference? What is going on?
It's curiouser and curiouser. I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had an answer. I wish I even had something that would, you know, in my mind sounded plausible. But I can't get beyond what you said. If it's not serious, then why isn't he doing the press conference?
Even if you go in and say, you know, I got to get to something, I got 5 minutes, guys. We'll just get a couple of quick ones and I'll get out of here.
Correct.
I find it curious. Good word, Paul. Curious.
All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline because some of you have been waiting for a while, and I apologize for having to take a break, but the Belichick news, I thought, you know, warranted a little bit of a reset there. Belarco is in L.A., and we'll go to him right now. Belarco!
Hey, guys. This game was crap, and I'm ticked off. Like, I mean, I understand it's a meaningless game, but to be very honest, like, every game has some meaning, some purpose, and the purpose of this game was to see if the offense can fine-tune itself and if our offensive line can do something. And to be very honest, I know a lot of people are not worried because our big three stars are healthy, but I don't care. The O-line looked like poop. It looked like poop. When I watch the playoffs now, I'll be praying that Connolly and Bomer are on the field, because without those guys, we just can't do anything.
Yeah.
And the defenses in the playoffs are not going to get any easier. They're all going to be like this. That's why they're in the playoffs.
Well, to some degree. I mean, I still think the Patriots-Colts matchup, you know, are not afraid of that defense. But you're right. You're going to face good teams in the postseason, some of them with good physical defenses, some of them with defenses that at times haven't been good, but if they play a good game against you, could give you problems. And we've talked about it. The offensive line is a concern right now. It started the year a concern. We started to settle in the middle of the year, and now it has ended up a concern, both in terms of performance over the last month and health. And whether those two things are related, was Dan Connolly more banged up than we thought, sort of when he was still playing, now he's out of action? Vollmer, was he more banged up? Is he fighting a back injury that's been an issue for his entire career? Now you have Solder potentially in the nicked up mix based on the knee. That's probably going to be, and I had a debate with somebody the other day, said, you know, which of these teams really, you know, scares you with their defensive line or anything? And I said, well, part of the problem with that is I didn't expect Sean Ellis to bitch slap Dan Connolly in that playoff game, whatever that was, 5 years ago.
The Jets' defensive line in 2010 didn't scare me.
I didn't expect,
as an example, and
Terrence Knighton,
they scared me in
to
that
beat
game.
Logan Mankins on the most important play or one of the most important plays of your season. So I may not expect player X to beat Brian Stork or somebody.
Correct.
But if and when he does it and it ends your year, that's a problem.
Correct. I agree. And thanks, Belarco. Wow.
Now Kevin's just mocking Belarco.
I don't know.
You will not eat that.
I will
You're
not.
You're going to eat that cat poo.
All right. With that, I'm going to move on to
you
McCabe.
You remember that scene?
I will not.
He sounded just like the guy.
Yeah.
McCabe is in Virginia. Next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It's in no way offensive.
McCabe.
McCabe didn't want to talk to us. McCabe.
Oh, McCabe dropped out. He just
Screw
hung up
you,
on
you, McCabe.
He hung up on us.
We're going to eat that cat poo.
Okay.
I hope it was nothing serious, McCabe. Although I don't even know what serious means anymore.
Yeah, I mean, not after that. Let's see. Oh, boy.
He's
Rachel
not the best
in Virginia.
Host in the business for nothing.
No, I'm just trying to figure that whole thing out there. I don't know that movie. What is that movie?
Isn't that from Anchorman? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that
Have
line.
Have you ever seen Anchorman?
I've seen Anchorman. Oh. I don't remember that at all. Oh. From.
Remember he's sitting like in the steakhouse and he won't serve him as usual because he said the FU San Diego?
Right. It's after he has his fall. That. He takes what's-her-name there on a date, but then later has
Bertino,
his fall
thank you.
And
thank
goes
you
back.
Thank you for having me coming here. I'm glad I can still get a good meal.
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you are, Mr. Burgundy. The chef made this special for you.
Eat up.
All right.
You eat that for the way you talk about my city.
I will not eat that. You're going to eat that cat poop.
Cat poop. Belarco was worked up. I did enjoy that. I've come to notice I enjoy a worked up Belarco. Whether it was his rant about I hate New York, I hate the Empire State Building when he said he actually hated a building, or today when he called the offensive line poop.
Let's move on to the email, shall we?
Although given what's happened to that city in the last 12 years, I was worried about that.
Yeah, but you know, all in good fun. It's sports. You're allowed to hate.
Gareth is first up in the emails. I'm ignoring you guys. I don't know if you guys can tell.
No, I can tell.
He's in Northern
Ireland.
We're
just trying to fill so you don't go, next, we'll see.
But I'm trying to get beyond. This is the part that got me going, because I don't know what you guys are talking about. Gareth is saying, never enjoy seeing a loss, but some ridiculous calls near the end really screwed the Patriots, specifically the Casillas penalty. Not sure about any other calls other than that one, but anyway. Some flashes from Jimmy G, but he holds on to the ball way too long. Yep. If there are no receivers open, he needs to just get rid of the ball a lot more than he does now. Anyway, on to the bye week. I would agree with that assessment of
but insert young quarterback's name here.
Exactly. To be expected.
Every young quarterback holds onto the ball way too long. It is what it is.
Absolutely to be expected. Michelle, and I'm just going to call her Michelle because I'm not allowed
to. She does not like it when you call her.
The injury to Solder is what worries her. No scheme on either defense or offense. Jimmy got some good reps, and I love his quick release, but his decision-making at times were just that of a rookie. And that's exactly what Andy just said. On to the postseason. So that seems to be the line of thought here, which is healthy. That's a healthy line of thought.
Nothing the Patriots did today, generally, will affect their ability to win a football game on the 10th or the 11th.
Right.
Right? And isn't that sort of good, bad, whatever, indifferent? You put this game in the rearview mirror. Now, unlike this week when Belichick and everybody had to tell us this was an important game, you play football, blah, blah, blah. Now, all you are is the number one seed. You have a bye week. You'll be playing a team that'll have already played on wild card. You know, the facts just sort of fall into place. You'll be going to that battle with your best players, all seemingly healthy. So there's no, you know, Aqib Talib's out or Rob Gronkowski's out or anything like that. So, I mean, you just sort of press that reset button, flip the calendar to the new year, right? Open-mindedness.
These are the facts, and they
are
undisputed.
Except for the one fact that something not serious going on with Bill Belichick so that he's not doing his press conference.
Now, I wonder if he's just sick, and maybe he got some fluids or something like that and wanted to go on from there. You know, who knows? Anthony is in Seattle. Okay. I know this game didn't really count, and it was our backups playing, but still... We played terrible and deserved to lose. That offensive effort was like watching my dog get run over by a semi-truck. This team has been in a downward spiral for weeks, Andy. Do you still think that they have time to have what it takes to be a championship-caliber team?
Of course. Hell yes. I think they have the core ability in all phases of the game to win the Super Bowl.
Juve just says, Marcus Cannon sucks. That is all.
You know who else said that, basically? Dan Copen from now Comcast Sportsnet. New England,
yes.
But formerly a Patriots offensive lineman. What exactly did he say? Can somebody tell
someone
Cannon
tell him he's supposed to block?
His job is to block.
His job is to block, yes.
Marcus Cannon, fresh off his extension a couple weeks ago, struggled yet again. And, yeah, the offensive line concerns me. The play over the last month at times concerns me. But I still think this team is as talented as any in the AFC, certainly, and could win the Super Bowl.
Dan is next up, Dan in San Antonio. I know we rested a lot of players today, but what was the excuse for the last month? Offense is losing a lot of momentum. The O-line is going back to the time in September. It seems like we've lost a lot of our steam in December, and I am not one bit confident going into the postseason. These teams are going to give us an entire first half to get gelling again. Really not happy today. Do you take it as far as that?
Could you recap that real quick?
Basically... We've been talking about the slow offensive starts, and he's saying, you know, teams in the playoffs, they're not going to give you a whole half to get going.
Oh, yeah, no, the slow starts is part of the big part of the
problem.
You're
not sure they have what it takes right now to get it done in the playoffs.
And that's why I lumped everybody in. Brady, the offensive line, Josh McDaniels, Belichick, the game plan. Whoever you want to lump in there, I'll lump in there and say they need to cull together something better on the first or the second drive than they've been consistently putting forth for the better part of a month.
It's the first positive email we've gotten. Mike, looking for one of the goods that we, you know, how about the defense in the second half? Digging in their heels, not allowing any points. That continues that stretch of no touchdowns in the second half, no points at all in the second half today. So they dug in and they weren't allowing anything else.
Yeah,
something
that,
to be happy about.
That is true. Second half.
That's now defense. What, six games?
Maybe.
Without allowing a touchdown, I think going back to Green Bay.
Yes.
Green Bay, San Diego, Miami.
Jets.
That would be five games. And Detroit. Detroit, Green Bay, San Diego, Miami, Jets, Buffalo. So six games now without allowing a touchdown in the second half. Three of those six games without allowing a point in the second
half.
Now
here's where the pessimist side of me would say, yeah, but if you trail 21-0 in the first half, not giving up points in the second might be a problem.
And in all fairness, part of the reason you didn't allow any points in the second half today was because of the score, because I think had it been a different score, Buffalo would have treated some of those. I don't think they would have just run the ball into the line on some of the plays that they did, and certainly I think they would have gone for it on fourth down from the 40-yard line, which I still think they should have done.
You need a minute to rant about.
Well, I had overtime on my mind, and I was not a happy camper for a little while. Reno, not Reno Hightower. you probably never saw Best of Times, right? I thought Jimmy Garoppolo did a good job. I wish the line blocked for him a little bit better. I'm happy we have a week of practice. Why do you think we kept Brady and Revis in so long?
I don't know if that was the plan or if that was not playing well enough. I can't answer that. I can't definitively answer that.
Let's see here. Adam in Alexandria, Virginia. Jimmy Garoppolo is fun to watch, man. Guy is a poor man Fran Tarkenton back there. He can extend plays and make something out of nothing, even with the worst pass protection I've seen in years. Obviously not trying to overhype him or, quote, trade Brady, unquote, nonsense, but he looks really promising. Keep up the great work, guys. Paul, hosting is like Bizarro Patriots world, but it's working. I'm trying. It's not exactly my forte.
So is Josh Klein.
Speaking of the opposite of like Mike talking, looking at the bright side, Weddle, and I don't think it's Eric, says Seattle would get 15 sacks against us. It would be a disaster. I'm not joking.
Well, but if you put Conley and Vollmer in there, it could get better.
Well, I
are
think
people
that
down on the offensive line that it's not fixable? It's not maintain. You can't maintain a winning caliber of play with this offensive line right now. Because I'm not that down on it. I'm concerned. I have questions, but I'm not ready to stamp it the fatal flaw that they will lose because of the offensive line.
If they lose, you'll stamp it as the flaw.
Maybe, I don't know. The flaw might just be that they don't score any points early. Might not be the offensive line that's the reason that they don't score any points. Now, I know generally there seems to have been a direct tie-in with pressure and early pressure early.
I'll give you an example. You know, and I know early isn't necessarily one drive, but they went 3-and-out today in the first drive. It had nothing to do with the offensive line.
Right.
They ran for about 6 yards. Then they ran for like 2 more. It set up a third and one. And then they threw the ball. It was incomplete. He had plenty of time. And I think he tried to hit someone in the flat, probably Vereen. And they ended up going 3-and-out. Had nothing to do with the offensive line. Adam is in Alexandria. We got a lot of people in Virginia. Have you ever noticed that?
We're big in Virginia.
Big.
Virginia and the UK. Two hotbeds of PFW support.
He lists the over-under at 2 weeks before Big Al wants
Garoppolo.
When? Where? More specifically.
Quarterback.
But where? On the field.
Starting.
Red zone.
Oh.
Yeah, in there when we are inside the opponent's 5-yard line, which yes. I think is accurate. He probably does want that. There's a lot of emails coming in. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all of them, but I don't want to read them all at once here either. The situation with the offensive line, I agree with you. I don't think it's something that I've completely lost hope in. But at the same time, I do have this feeling in the back of my mind that if something were to if one of those guys can't play, I don't think they can perform that well. I think that they are so reliant on these on the five starters, and I don't think the five starters are great. But when you take one of them out of there, don't you just sort of immediately wonder what's going to happen to Brady?
Yes. Yeah, I don't.
That's it. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but I am really concerned about that situation because I don't think when they were rolling, when they were playing extremely well, the ball was just getting out of Brady's hands so fast. I don't think the protection was all that much better. So if you can cover a little bit better, I'm not sure they can block a little bit better. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
You're not paying attention.
No, right? I am. I think if you cover the receivers and make Brady hold on to the ball a half a second longer, things will become more problematic. That is generally their way of avoiding the fact that they're not very good up front, is they get rid of the ball quickly. And if you make them not be able to get rid of the ball quickly, then all hell can break loose there and after.
Yeah, Connor in New Hampshire, I think, is along these lines. I don't feel confident in the way this team has played and the way that I did a couple of weeks ago. I know that we've had guys banged up and out the last two games, but with Baltimore getting the sixth seed, if we play them in the divisional round, I think the writing is on the wall for another early playoff exit for this team. Same goes for Pittsburgh to a lesser degree. Please tell me why I'm wrong. I'll give you the first crack.
I still think the Patriots are a talented football team, but I agree with the tone. I felt better about the football team when I thought they rolled out of bed and scored 35 points in the middle of the season. They have not been as good of late. Now, some of that is a couple defenses that are three if you include today, whatever that's worth. Three division foes that have times over the years given them problems. Three defensive fronts.
Buffalo is one that's given them problems over the years.
Occasionally they've had issues.
Yeah, three times.
Well, you know.
25
no, they've
games.
Had more than that. Not just not, wins and losses.
Not very much.
They have held them below. They've held them in the 20s. I don't know how many times, but they have. I know they have.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they have once.
Named three times.
1917 when Ty Warren got
but
a sack in the first
three
game of the
teams
season.
With good defensive fronts against an offensive line that we know, even if it's good, we know it's not great. We know it's not a strength. It's not, you know, Gronkowski. It's not your coverage that's been better. It is not going to be a strength. It might be good enough, right? We know it's you're not going to ride your offensive line, in my opinion, to success. If everything else fails,
right.
You know, just put it on those guys' shoulders. So they face some defensive fronts, some defensive lines that haven't that have given them problems. But I still think, yes, that's a concern. The early starts and the funk, if you want to call it a funk or a trend or a sluggish nature.
Because the offense has not really been sort of in a groove for a while now. And they've been really reliant on strong special teams play. They were, to a lesser extent, again today. Amendola's big return set up three of the points, and they only got nine in the day.
That'd be 33% of your points.
More offensive line concern. I still think that Mankins trade, still. This is from Phillip, by the way.
Phillip!
The Mankins trade still might be the undoing of the Patriots moving forward. Going back to the Chargers game, it seems like every week we've had trouble protecting our quarterback and keeping them clean, standing upright. Tim Wright has all but disappeared, and if we're struggling now, if we make it to the big game, what do you think the Seahawks will do to us?
Quick update off of Twitter. Apparently there was a rumor going around that Brandon LaFell was in a walking boot. Thankfully, Jody Breeze on Twitter, who is Brandon LaFell, said, no, I'm not in a walking boot, so calm down, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So Brandon LaFell is not in a walking boot.
But reporters are saying that he was in a walking boot?
I don't
know.
There were reporters tweeting tweets. I don't know who started the rumors.
Oh, okay.
But he
that's another
said,
thing to worry about. But the fact that he came back in the game has got to tell me that he was okay.
Plus, he's not in a walking boot.
Yeah. I mean, if reporters said that he was in a walking boot, would they just imagine it?
Oh, I don't know if any reporters did. I know reporters tweeted tweets claiming that he was in a walking boot or something. I don't know where the rumor started.
Okay.
Could have started with you, Paul, for all I know.
Rachel, continuing the offensive line concern, very worried at this point. I'd prefer we lose before the Super Bowl than get there and see Brady running for his life in a loss yet again. Wow, there's a lot of negativity. I didn't expect. I gotta be honest with you. I didn't expect this amount of negativity. What do you got?
Ben Volen, 14 minutes ago, tweeted: LaFell said he's okay, but just saw him go by in a golf cart in a walking boot. And so that is the source of your LaFell in a walking boot.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Okay, he's not in a walking boot. LaFell said he wasn't in a walking boot. Check.
Why? What do you mean? Ben Volen said he was in a walking boot.
Yeah.
You were ready to pounce on the idea that he was in a walking boot.
Depending on who said he was. I'm not going to be stunned, by the way, if he had something on. And it wasn't technically a walking boot, and he's going off of semantics, by the way.
I'll let you know. How many snaps has Vollmer played at left guard this year?
Talk about negativity, though, Andy. Rachel does not want the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl because doesn't want to see Brady running for his life in a loss yet again.
Well,
that's pretty negative.
That is very negative. If you don't play, you can't win. It's like
correct.
Being with the lottery.
It's the opposite of the Trent Dilfer effect.
If I don't buy a lottery ticket, it's impossible for me to win the big thing, the big jackpot.
The big thing. It's the next big thing. I still don't take too much from the offensive line's play today, specifically given that starters missing. That's certainly the case, and I'm
40% out of action.
Two guys missing, and I'm sure they are also used to quicker reads from their starting quarterback. But in general, thank goodness for the bye week. I do think it's time to look for Solder and Vollmer. Due to the ongoing back issue, replacements. Cannon seems to get called for holding every game, usually negating a first down. I think it's safe to say he's heading for a bust category. How retired is Dante Scarnecchia?
Hey, Dante, how retired are you? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're not coming back, how retired are you? I will say Dante going to be doing a speaking engagement with Mike Reese and Bob Soucy at the Hall at Patriot Place. I believe that's next Saturday, Paul, the bye week Saturday. Tickets are available, the Hall, patriots.com, the Hall website.
That is correct. That sounds like a really good take as well. I wanted to read this one.
Although Scar's saying, all these questions about the O-line, he's really regretting going to that probably.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to read this one. This is from Malley in Nebraska because, you remember, they're the ones that won Fred's giveaway.
Oh, and I think I retweeted some of their photos.
Okay, thanks again for the on-field pregame opportunity. We had a blast. Game was what it was. No one trying to get hurt. It's all good. Garoppolo looked like Grogan out there. We are on to the bye week. I agree with that, by the way.
Yeah, but you don't like Grogan.
Correct. We are on to the bye week. Shout out to my wife, mother-in-law, and cousin from the Twitter picture. Mike, thanks again, guys. I'm glad that that worked out. I know there was some confusion before the game, so I wanted to make sure everybody realized that Fred Kirsch delivers. Fred Kirsch offers something, he delivers.
Yes, except and, for the Kirsch words.
And I'm glad that
deliver that.
I'm glad that you guys had a good time with the game. Yeah, it's not that I don't like Grogan, by the way. It's that I think Grogan spent a entirety of his career being one of the most consistently inconsistent players in Patriots history. And I think there was a lot of up and down today to Garoppolo's game. That's why I agree with it.
According to Jeff Howe, Bill Belichick will conduct his conference call at 5 p.m.
Okay, that's good news, Andy.
Yes, that is. So we'll be able to do it in the show.
So, Kevin, will we be able to take that? No. I'm getting a stern shaking of the head. No.
No, we'll play Brady.
Okay.
I can try to get it once it's happened, but if we took it live, it would sound awful.
Yeah, okay. I do think we should get it at least the part where he tells us why he didn't do a press conference.
No, yeah. I think it's pressing at this point. We're not going to take it live.
Screw it. We'll do it live.
Philip not happy, by the way, that Brady, I guess, didn't take his hat off for the national anthem. He's a national hero. It's embarrassing. Come on, Brady. I didn't notice that. But
I may not have taken mine off.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't know winter hats fell under the same rule.
When did you not?
I don't know.
Oh. You mean at some point in your life?
If I were out there and had a winter hat on, I might not have taken it off.
Why would you not have taken a hat off?
I don't know. I didn't know it was the same rule. I didn't want to catch a chill.
I don't understand you.
I didn't know that was all part of one rule.
We finally have someone looking on the bright side. Sean in New Hampshire. This is the best thing that could have happened to us. 2 weeks to watch their mistakes. I hope Bill is okay to show them that they need to start playing all out on every play for this man.
Well, you know he would never question something that someone does during a game. So what's he going to show him?
Andy, really? Are you going to go down that road again?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. Ace Ticket Hotline, as always, 508-298-0398. And, of course, the emails, which are coming fast and furious at webradio@patriots.com.
And yet Paul doesn't read them fast and furious.
I don't. I just read about 10 of them. What are you
got a lot of emails. Oh, yeah.
Today, Junior!
Doing it, channeling his inner Fred Kirsch. A lot of emails.
I just read a million of them. What are you, I mean, are you deaf? I mean, I know you're not paying attention to them. But I figured that you were doing something while I was trying to read the emails.
You have to yell at me.
Yeah,
I do. Skippy.
You make fun of me, I yell at you. That's how it works.
Okay.
Let's turn this back into PFW in progress.
You know how I thought we did a really good pregame show? Yeah, I thought we did a really good pregame show.
Yeah, I don't think this is that bad.
Okay. Maybe I have higher standards.
No, you don't. I know you don't. Let's see. Jake in Pittsburgh. So many years from 2010 to 13, the Patriots have always played their best football in December and then slumped in the playoff. Maybe I'm just fishing for things, but I'd rather have my team not play their best in December than play well in January, which has not been the case the past few years. So maybe this will finally be the year. Thanks for a great show all year long. I'm glad to see some people trying to search for the positives.
So because they don't have momentum going into the postseason, that's a good thing, right? Struggling, stagnant offense, good thing heading into it.
Can I bring up something serious, and I wonder if you believe in this or not. They were playing great football through October and into November. Do you feel like they peaked?
Based on what I've seen lately, yes.
Now, was that a concern?
Just an update on Bootgate. LaFell apparently deleted his tweet saying he wasn't in a boot.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said that sounded like it could be something.
Oh, so now you're saying Volan was right.
No.
Was Volan right or not right?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm sitting with you doing this show that you're very upset about. Part of the reason why it's not a good show is because you're trolling me.
Oh.
You're supposed to troll the fans.
I would like to say that the walking boot to me is irrelevant in some ways.
Especially
with
2 weeks
off. The walking boot is the first line of defense against any foot, calf, ankle injury. The immobilization to begin the healing process is the idea there. Within the last 3 years, It used to mean a lot more, but I think they decided at some point just put everybody in a walking boot, immobilize it, let the recovery heal, I mean, start quicker. So even if he's in a walking boot, he got hurt, he came back in the game.
Yeah.
So unless
that to me is the thing.
But
that
I mean,
I'm not worried about.
I guess you could be wrong. Maybe we missed it. He pulled a calf, came back in and tore the calf or something.
Yeah, because I thought
he came back in.
I thought there was a chance that he had something significant when he limped off the field. The fact that he came back on the field tells me he didn't have anything significant. Now you're right. Doesn't mean he didn't then do something significant when he came back on the field.
This is in a lot of ways a fascinating post-game show, though. Bill Belichick doesn't do a press conference because he's with trainers, but it's not serious. Brandon LaFell is in a walking boot, but
he's not in a walking boot because he said
except
he isn't.
Then he
except
deleted
now he
when
says
he said
did.
He isn't. I mean, I don't have the answers to any of this crap going on, but it's highly interesting.
Rachel in Virginia says really hoping the 20-yard passes on third and one after running so well are a thing of the past in 2015. Those poor calls combined with a questionable offensive line will end the season. Call it Brady, call it McDaniels, regardless, they have to end. I do believe the O-line / offense issues can be resolved because the O was rolling prior to the bye. I think it's just an issue of all three phases being off at the same time. O-line, offense, and McDaniels.
So
funny how she left Brady out of that one. hopefully the opposite happens this time around during the bye.
So am I to assume that the rumors from earlier, reports from earlier, that Josh McDaniels will be a candidate for a couple other teams, some people are happy with that right now? Are fans down on Josh McDaniels and his play calling? I know that fourth down call for Garoppolo really seemed to rub people the wrong way, and seems like over the last month people have been a little bit down on him.
I think that's a little bit. I thought he had some curious calls today, McDaniels, and they were mostly very early in the game. I thought the first third and one, I thought, was a running down. I also don't like what I call finesse runs in short yardage. Spread them out, give the ball to Shane Vereen. I don't like those. You know, it's kind of along the hurry up and run. They didn't do the hurry up and run today, but I don't like if you want to run the ball in short yardage. I don't really think you have to fool them. Line up and run it.
Have you seen this old line?
Have you seen the 260-pound back that runs behind the old line? He should be able to move the pile.
Devlin,
and especially with him, wouldn't you? I mean, I'll play to you. I'll cater to my audience. Wouldn't you rather see James Devlin in front of LeGarrette Blount,
as opposed to
four wides with Vereen in the backfield? We'll give a shotgun handoff and see if he can make someone miss.
That's a 500-plus-pound duo of big old badass men.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let's see. No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
You know, Kevin, you told me that I needed to take a break at 5 o'clock, so it's a little after five, so I'm going to take a break.
Shoot me now.
We got plenty of emails coming in, contrary to Andy's opinion. The Ace Ticket Hotline is open as well, so we have still a long way to go here. We need some help because Andy is being very annoying.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio at patriots.com. Now back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One post-game show. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you. We talked before the break about trying to hear a little bit from the post-game reaction in the Patriots locker room and the post-game press conferences. We have Tom Brady right now. Let's go to him.
What's up?
All right, Tom, officially, functionality of the week. How tough was the week in general, you know, knowing your guys' fate, where you ultimately stand, and knowing who's not going to be part of the game plan, and maybe not game plan the way you want the game plan to game?
Yeah, I think we, try to go out there and give great effort. They're a good team, so they make it tough on you. They made it tough on us down there when we played them, and they made it tough today. So they got a good team, but we're looking forward. So it's tough. You know, we always hate losing, absolutely. We didn't make enough plays to win, but hopefully we make them in a couple weeks.
Hello, here we go. As you go out there, I know that you're moving forward, but just to ask you, it's not like when you're out there, you're not trying. You're trying to have success offensively. It looks like you had a little frustration there. Some of the protection, where are you in terms of comfort level with the protection you're getting heading into this postseason?
Yeah, well, I think everything works together, and certainly the protection and the routes and the throws and the catches, it's offensive football and scoring points is about great execution. And if it's anything less than that, it's hard to score unless somebody makes really a spectacular play. If you have a breakdown on a throw, if you have a breakdown on a block, you have a breakdown on a route, usually it doesn't result in a good play. And I think, obviously, the first half, we didn't have enough good plays to score enough points. And, we're trying, and hopefully, we do a lot better job in a couple weeks. That's what it's going to take.
How concerned should we be about the offense? You didn't look great about it against the Jets. Today, a little different situation for obvious reasons. Where in the concern level should we be after basically 14 weeks of watching pretty good, or the last 12, pretty good offensive football?
Yeah. We're confident. I mean, we have a lot of confidence as an offense. So we can, we've been able to score points against a lot of good teams, a lot of good defenses. Nothing that we've done this past season is going to help in 2 weeks from now. What's going to matter is how well we prepare this week and how well we prepare next week. And then, how ready we are to go, whenever we play. So we'll have a lot of confidence. I'm not worried about us lacking confidence going out there and executing. Got a lot of good players.
When you guys go back and look at the film from this month and look at the games, do you see that you guys are not executing offensively, or teams made some adjustments now that they have a lot of film on you guys and are taking some things away that worked earlier in the season?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it ultimately comes down to, like I said, how well we execute. I think we play some pretty good defenses and, defense that really challenge you. So we'll be challenged in a couple weeks, hopefully. We're ready to meet the challenge. I'd expect us to be at our best. That's what this time of year requires. We'll be playing a great football team, whoever it is. I think we got a pretty good team. We'll see where we're at.
You guys, talk about Brian Timms. You guys had four starter scraps. We know who they are. We know what your report is. It was 11 with 87 and so forth. We fell. How important was it for Brian Timms? Looked like you were a little bit of a groove with him instead of just the traditional shot play.
Yeah, he made a couple good plays there early. He's done a good job since he's got here trying to understand the offense and what he needs to do to really incorporate himself and find a role. So it was good to see him make some plays today. We're going to need it in a couple weeks. Hopefully, Gronk is ready to roll and Jules is ready to roll and, all the guys up front are ready to roll. And that's important. It's good when you have your very good football players out there. We had a lot of good players out there today that made some plays. We just didn't make enough of them today. But we got to be able to go out and do it in a couple weeks, make a lot of good plays. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That's Tom Brady after the Patriots' 17-9 loss to the Buffalo Bills to close out the regular season. Interesting situation. Just talking about the offense, and it's not something I thought. Usually you hear Brady has something to say, has an idea of what he wants to say when he hears a question. It seemed like that question that Chris Gasper asked him, Andy, sort of caused him to pause a little bit. And just how much do the struggles offensively as of late concern them? So certainly that's something that the quarterback has on his mind, as the last month or so has not been quite as productive as the previous 2 months were. Let's head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Before we do that, Andy has given me the finger.
Not that one. That's normal. You wouldn't have stopped had I gave you that one.
In 5 years, that was the best Paul Perillo laugh I have ever heard.
But it was totally intentional.
Sounded like one of his kids.
Bill Belichick started his conference call at 5, and obviously the beginning of it was in regards to why they were having a conference call. Bill apologized and said he had a little thing to look at with the trainers. Said, quote, "It's no big deal. I don't want to get into it. I'll be all right." So he downplayed.
So it's something health related with Bill that he has dealt. He has deemed not serious. The Patriots have deemed not serious, and as Andy and I sort of suspected, it was a little bit more than they were leading on. Because if it was something that was totally didn't need to be looked at that time, he was going to talk to the media anyway. So he didn't do it so he could get out of talking to the media,
right?
Especially in this kind of a situation, which is a completely meaningless loss. I mean, if ever it wasn't so unpleasant to speak after a loss, today was the day. So let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and hit up Gabriel in California.
Gabriel, what's up?
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just had one question. I mean, in the playoffs, should we be, because I saw the Ravens win, should we be worried about them?
Sure. I would be worried, first of all, right now about anybody, because you haven't played a great game for a month. But certainly the aspects of the Ravens, the fight they have, I think, as an organization, I don't think they're the most talented or best team. They can run it a little bit. They can throw it a little bit. You have Torrey Smith. You have a second receiver, and I've said this, I'm looking forward to potentially a matchup between Brandon Browner and Steve Smith Sr., because that would be a physical matchup. The Ravens aren't going to wilt in the face of coming to Gillette Stadium, and that, combined with your questionable play over the last month, I would feel
that. If the Patriots were playing the way they were playing in November, I wouldn't be worried right now, because Baltimore is not playing very good football. They can't score.
That's the biggest thing. Even if they were playing well, whatever, they're not going to score 30 points. If the Patriots were in their 30-point mode,
correct,
I wouldn't be worried. But the Patriots are in their teen mode.
So that's why, and I think, Andy, you hit the nail on the head, and thanks, Gabriel, that
I do want to see Steve Smith and Brandon Browner.
Everybody is feared right now.
Yeah.
Everybody should be respected.
Respect all, fear none.
The Patriots are not playing offensively as crisply as they were earlier in the season. Let's go to Jordan in Albany. Jordan.
How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you very much. You as well.
Yes. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here as a fan, but, you know, I like to keep things positive.
I've often said that about you.
What?
I've often said that about you. You like to keep things positive.
But let's say hypothetically we make it to the Super Bowl. My friend Ryan, who is a Giants fan.
Loser.
Always harps on, and we got into a little discussion. It was kind of a heated discussion about how he thinks the NFC is just so much better than the AFC. And, I mean, I could see some of his argument, but what do you think? What do you think on those lines? Like, if we got to the Super Bowl, would we just become, like, Denver did last year and just get blown away? What do you think?
No, not necessarily.
I would never expect a Patriots team to get blown away. But I do think that the NFC is better than the AFC, but it doesn't mean that I think that the AFC can't compete. I think that was sort of a perfect storm kind of game last year. The first snap of the game, Sales passed Manning for a safety. You want to talk about, you know, the most disastrous way to start a Super Bowl, that was it. And, you know, I think it all snowballed from there. I think Seattle was much better than Denver. There's no two ways about it, but I don't think they were 43-8 better than Denver. And I think that game wouldn't happen very often. That kind of an outcome probably wouldn't happen very often.
Like, are they?
You know, like they played this year in Seattle and it went to overtime. I still think Seattle was better. And they ended up winning the game, I think, 26-20. That to me is more indicative of the kind of game that those two teams would play.
What would be the best case scenario of an NFC team that we would play in the Super Bowl if that happened?
The South.
Yeah, Atlanta.
I mean, that's not happening.
Well, you don't know.
But that's a whole other debate that is ridiculous about the NFC South. I think they need to. The NFL needs to do something.
If you're going to go realistically, you know, the best team that could get there, I get Detroit. you know, I don't think that they're, you know, this is where Andy's going to get into as well. If that team got there, then that means they're playing well. Although I know for a fact that Andy Hart would give the Detroit Lions a 0.0% chance of beating the Patriots in the Super
Paul
Bowl.
Paul Perillo right on two accounts, because I will say, if Detroit takes care of business and goes through whoever they need to go through in the NFC, including in all likelihood, you know, the Packers and the Seahawks and good teams, well, then they're playing good football and they should scare you. That said, they still have Jim Caldwell as their coach and Matthew Stafford as their quarterback, and I still would pick the Patriots to beat them.
Yeah. Well, as you said before, you should be scared of every team in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to respect everybody because, A, everybody in the playoffs is usually a pretty good team, NFC South excluded. And I don't think that you're playing particularly well right now. So
I don't even know that Baltimore's a good team.
I don't think Baltimore's great. They're a 10-6 team. I think that's sort of an average record in today's NFL. It's okay.
Playoff experience, though.
Yeah, but a lot of the guys that are playing key roles don't have playoff experience. It's kind of like the Patriots. Everybody looks at, oh, Patriots playoff tested. Bad playoff
experience.
But
I do think there is something to be said for your quarterback and your coach being playoff tested.
And they do have that, and obviously the Patriots have that in spades with Belichick and Brady, the most successful, certainly the most wins, right? They have the most playoff wins, right?
And
so
just
no one's done it more
also,
than they have.
Nada will be back. You'll add him to that defensive.
Yeah, if I'm Baltimore, I'm not really overly concerned about my defense. I'm more concerned about my offense.
No, I was talking more from the Patriots' perspective about the offensive line.
Yeah, now the secondary is not very good, but the front seven is pretty good for Baltimore. But in order for them to win, they're going to have to score some points, and I just don't know if they can do it. They seem to be around 20 most games nowadays, and that's not going
to
be enough.
That's how good they are unless they get, like, a deep ball to Steve. Remember those balls early in the year that were like deflecting off the corner and he kept running and ran under it for big plays? If you get those, you're in trouble.
Well, they had a stretch, you know, not as productive as the Patriots, but they had a stretch in the middle of the season where they were scoring around 30 most games.
Well, they have some playmakers.
And I think it's more than just, you know, deep balls that were going off guys.
No, you have
hands.
Forsett who can make some plays.
And Torrey Smith, I think, is the much better receiver out of those two.
Oh, God, yeah. No, not even close.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of them are consistent offensive playmakers that I fear, including the quarterback.
They have red zone issues, too, and the quarterback is not consistent enough. There's no question. McCabe in Virginia, next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
McCabe.
Oh, hey, guys.
Did you hang up on us pregame?
You did.
My phone died.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, what do you got? We didn't get your pregame prediction like we normally do.
Yeah. I was going to say, our offensive line was very sloppy today. That's how we're going to play in the playoffs, and I don't think we're going to go very far.
I agree 100%. If they play like that, now, as we said, some of the personnel should be different. You should get both Vollmer and Conley back, but if they're going to play piss poor on the offensive line, we've seen historically that leads to playoff losses. Okay, McCabe.
That's all you got for us,
bud.
McCabe. All right. No, let him go. You know what it's time for.
A beer?
As I get a Fred in my throat.
You got Fred in your throat?
It's time for a little lightening up the mood here. It's time to talk to Eldridge. Eldridge!
Hey, how you doing?
Great! What'd you think of Tim's today, huh?
Well, I can see the game again. I'm down in Tampa. So I'm going to go with Houston and Jacksonville.
Now, that looked like a good game. You see my boy Jordan Todman making plays?
Something like that. I cut it out with Mexico. I was looking at the play-by-play on the Patriots app, and I'm just like, I don't believe it. Then I heard that he rested the majority of the players. I never knew him ability to do that. I thought he obviously we play to play, you know, they would get paid for. I know they had nothing to prove, but still, you had something to prove. Continuity.
Well, I won't.
You'd be out for a week.
Just so you know, he didn't rest the majority of the players necessarily. He played a lot of players, certainly defensively. Almost the entire defense, save for Browner and Hightower, played significantly. And offensively, Gronk is the really only healthy scratch, quote-unquote, that you were without. You know, they added Vollmer to the injury report late in the week, and he was out. Offensively, some of the guys that were dinged up sat out. But, you know, Brady played, LaFell played, Amendola played. You know, three-fifths of your offensive line played, Blunt played. I mean, you played a lot
defensively
of
defensively in the first half, I thought, was more concerning than offense because you were missing four starters on offense with Edelman, Gronk, and the two offensive linemen. But defensively, it was just Hightower and Browner. And, you know, Buffalo moved the ball at will in the first half.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I saw on the play-by-play side. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But my concern is that going on for the week off, you know, maybe building them and straightening it out. But, Paul?
Yes.
Baltimore is the only team that scares me. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know what you're saying. They ain't that good. But remember, they got hot lap one time in the playoffs when they won Super Bowl. They didn't play like they played that crap.
They beat you twice in the playoffs.
Right, and they beat us. They won the other year.
Yeah. Super Bowl. But though, I think you don't think those are much better teams than the team that they have now?
No. The other team, yeah, because Lewis, but like I said, the defense is still there. But it still got playmakers. And until we get a third corner that can run with some of these fast receivers or elusive receivers, and safety that size strong, that always get burnt on a pass play, y'all coming up. Instead of backpedaling, I don't see no difference.
All right, yeah, I mean, listen, I respect. There's probably nobody in New England that respects Baltimore and what they've accomplished over the last 10 years more than I do. I like Flacco. Andy likes to make fun of me because he played at a low-level football in 1AA, and I got to see him in college a few times back when Northeastern was still playing football. So I've always sort of liked Flacco, and I've followed them a little bit closer than some of the other teams. I have respect for their program. You know, you like it when I call them programs. I just don't think this is the team. I don't necessarily want to face them because it's a team that you don't have that intangible advantage over when you come in here. They won't wilt. They might not be good enough to beat you, but it won't be because they're afraid. And I do think that some teams, I think Cincinnati will come here and be afraid. And I think Cincinnati is a better football team than Baltimore, but I would rather play Cincinnati in the playoffs because I think they'll come in here and do what Houston did a couple of years ago and be beaten before the game starts.
And
that's what I'm thinking.
I would also say that they won the Super Bowl when Flacco
got
was hot. Really good.
Yep,
he
got
was
hot.
Really good. He was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. If he plays like that, you might be in trouble.
I totally agree.
Yep. Well, thank y'all. Y'all have a good one, man.
All right. Happy New Year, Eldridge. Stay safe. That was a little bit under control for Eldridge. I wasn't real happy with that. I was thinking we were going to get some real, Eldridge-isms, so to speak. Let me read through a couple emails here before we head to another break, our final break before the end of the show. How about Akeem Ayers, says Lynn. He's really provided some pass rush spark in the second half of the season.
Yeah. Yet again, he didn't play as much early on. He got in there and was in the mix. Certainly, Akeem Ayers is an interesting player. We've talked a little bit about it, how you approach it with his playing time since the return of Chandler Jones. And, you know, you have your two linebackers, and they've done a lot of, you know, 4-2-5 type
Correct.
Stuff over the season. Where does he fit into that? But I'd much rather have a guy that I'm wondering can I fit him in than wondering if I have enough
Do
guys
I have
to play
anybody
11.
If someone gets hurt?
Right.
Yeah. The Snowman says that he thinks the league has figured out the issues with the Patriots and their offensive line with power. The Jets' D-line said they feasted on the Pats' O-line all day. That's true. They did say that. So maybe he feels that chink in the armor that we've been talking about as a potential fatal flaw that Andy likes to call it. Maybe other people are figuring that out. They're saying we got to take advantage of this matchup. But isn't that kind of what every team does? Like, you got to try to get after the passer with four, and if we can do it, we can disrupt Tom Brady, and if we can't, we can't.
Yeah, I would say that goes along with all teams would like to run the football and have some success running the ball. All teams would also like to be able to get after the quarterback with four guys.
All right, real quick, Todd in Toronto. I really liked what I saw from Bolden and Garoppolo. They both showed some spark, and I think Garoppolo has a great future. Cannon made a great tackle on Amendola today. I made that comment to you in the at the game.
Earning his money.
In the press box. And Blunt could not run his way out of a wet paper bag. I did not see that. Solder seemed to have a hurt right arm. Something I noticed after looking back at some past games as well. Now his ankle seems to be shot as well. Might explain a lot of things. Well, he had a knee injury today. That's what they announced. I shouldn't. You know, that's what they announced.
That's what I saw too.
They announced.
I thought
it
he landed
injury.
Directly on his knee and may have like bruised the knee or hurt the knee somehow.
Todd says I give the Patriots a 65% chance to win the Super Bowl, but only if they get it all together.
If they get it all together, I give them a 100% chance to win the Super Bowl. No? Am I wrong
You
here?
Think they can't lose if they play at the top of their game?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they could lose.
No, I don't.
You don't think there are teams that are better than them?
If they play as well as they can play, no.
You think if Seattle plays as well as they can play, they couldn't beat the Patriots playing as well as they could play?
Because I don't think they can score enough. I think the Patriots will outscore them.
Yeah, then Seattle didn't play as well as they can play.
Well, But if the Patriots didn't score, then I'd say they didn't play as well as they can.
That's the flaw of the argument.
I think when they play as well as they can play, they score 35-plus points. And I think if you score 35-plus points, you win in the National Football League.
I agree. I think that's sort of a flawed way to look at it, but I agree.
You just told me I'm flawed.
No, well, I mean, then every team could say that. If Seattle puts up – if Marshawn Lynch runs for 200 yards and they play at the best of their ability, they can't lose.
Yeah, see, I don't
because their defense is holding you to 17.
But
like you're only looking at it from the Patriots side. They scored 35.
Right.
Well, if Seattle plays the best they can play, they're only allowing 17.
But I don't think it's possible that both of them can play the best they can play.
I know.
I will look at either one as having come up short.
But so in other words, if Seattle plays the best they can play, they can't lose.
Yes, because when they're at their best.
But that's why I say it's flawed. Because no one they can't both be at their
best.
But I don't
think Seattle can play as best as they can play. Because if the Patriots play as best as they can play,
I agree.
It means their offensive line blocked the four guys in front of them.
Yeah, I agree with your theory.
Isn't getting there.
I agree with your theory.
So,
but I could say the same thing for four or five other teams. If Seattle plays as well as it can play, they're not letting you score 35.
That wasn't the question. He said they have to play if they play 65% and
if they get it all together.
If they get it all together, I think they have 100% chance of winning.
Yeah, and I think that all the other teams have that 100% chance of winning.
See, I don't.
Too. I think Seattle certainly does. I think Denver certainly does.
It's very unlikely that Baltimore can win, even if they get it all together, because I don't think they're that good. I would put Arizona in there because putting it all together
Dallas certainly could do it.
Oh,
Green Bay certainly could do it. Seattle certainly could do it.
Yeah, there's probably two
or three. I think Denver could do it.
Denver?
I think there are teams that if they play.
I would eliminate Cincinnati. I would eliminate Baltimore.
Well, I wouldn't eliminate Cincinnati.
I would eliminate, who's the other team? Oh, Arizona.
Because Arizona, I would eliminate. And the NFC South champ, I would eliminate.
As good as Arizona can be, is still Ryan Lindley. As good as he can be, is 5 years
that
into his career.
That means he didn't turn the ball over and you know.
Right, you're not going to win. I'm sorry. You can't win without a quarterback.
All right, before we head to this break, we did get Bill Belichick's conference call, so we'll let him tell you exactly what the situation was with the trainers.
Yeah, I just want to apologize to everybody. I didn't want to hold anybody up here today. I had to spend a few minutes in the training room after the game. Nothing serious, just a little thing to look at with the trainers and the doctors. So, like I said, I didn't want to hold up everybody's story and all that. So, this game was, opportunity for us to give some guys that haven't had a lot of playing time an opportunity to play a little bit. Never know how that's going to turn out in the games ahead. What we will need or when we'll need them. So, get them a little game experience. And, we also obviously competed against a good team and, it's a competitive game. We just couldn't make enough plays really at any point in the game, the beginning or the end, in any phase of the game to, ever really get control of it or be in a position to win it. So, looking forward to moving ahead this week to, work on things that we need to work on, and once we find out who we're going to play, then obviously we're looking forward to the postseason. So that's we'll just have to take it as it comes. But certainly there are things that we can do this week that'll help us in the long run. So we'll try to hit on some of those.
Bill, is it possible you could expand on exactly why you had to go see the trainer?
That's no big deal. I don't want to get into it.
Did the trainer say you're okay?
I'll be all right.
Bill, what was your biggest takeaway from the way the first team offense played with Brady in there and the offensive line with two starters missing?
I'd just say overall, offensively, we just couldn't make enough plays. We missed some opportunities. Dropped some balls, had some negative plays, penalties. Just didn't really do enough in any area to consistently move the ball. We had one good field position situation that we weren't really able to totally capitalize on. We're 3-for-8 on third down in the first half, so but pretty much six first downs. I mean, pretty much sums it up.
So just to clarify, was the training room, was that you, or was it about a player, or if you would?
No, it was me.
Well, there was a report that came out before the game about Nick Caserio getting a contract extension. Why is it important to keep him around for as long as you can?
Well, I think, you know, Nick does a great job for us. He probably, you know, does more than any other person in his position in the league in terms of his amount of responsibility and the number of different things he does on the coaching and the scouting level. So he's really a valuable guy that has great working knowledge of really everything that we do on the scouting end and the coaching end. So he's able to really interface with everybody and, you know, not only evaluate players, but has a great understanding of our schemes and coaches and coaching points and so forth. So fit those, be able to identify the type of fit that the guys have coming in here, or lack of fit, as the case would be, whatever it happens to be.
Bill, you've been, the team's been trailing four of the last five games at halftime, ended up winning three of those, but going forward into the playoffs, how concerning is that to you, and I guess, what do you think you can do about it? Get things going.
Well, we always want to try to get off to a good start and play from ahead. That's the goal every week. Sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes it doesn't. 60-minute game, you've got to be able to play for four quarters, no matter what happens early in the game, you know, good or bad, but you always want it to be good. So we've had times when it has been, and we've had times when it hasn't been gone quite the way we wanted it to. Always got to play 60 minutes. We'll just keep trying to find a way to get off to a good start, finish strong.
So what did you think of the way Jimmy Garoppolo handled the offense in the second half?
You know, I thought Jimmy competed well. You know, he's under some pressure. But, you know, some things were good. Other things could have been better. And I thought he competed well. And some of the opportunities where he had to make plays, he made them. So, you know, definitely some positive things there. And there's also things to learn from and build on.
Bill, the decision to sit Gronk today, was that basically an effort to kind of keep him safe going forward?
You know, we had some guys that, you know, have played a lot of football for us, and we felt like today would be an opportunity for us to have some guys who haven't played as much to get an opportunity to play, so... That's kind of the way we manage the team. We try to create opportunities for some guys that, you know, experience, I think, will benefit them going forward. And so based on that, we handle the playing time in the inactives.
You got a chance to plan ahead for this week at all in terms of practices? Are you looking at a normal sort of schedule? Are you going to maybe lean on more rest than usual?
Yeah, we'll try to figure that out a little bit tomorrow. I think my understanding is we should know tonight our schedule for when we'll play our next game. Not who we'll play, but, you know, when it'll be. And, you know, based on that, we'll work backwards a little bit and figure out exactly what we want to do this week, and both in terms of scheduling, practice, emphasis, so forth. All right. Thank you. Again, I apologize for any inconvenience, sir. I hope I've taken care of everything for you.
No worries. Thanks.
Okay.
That was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick in a rare post-game conference call after spending some time with the trainers to deal with something he deemed minor with his own physical condition, and that prevented him from doing a press conference, but just spoke with reporters and thought it was interesting. He talked about the fact they'll find out their schedule tonight, and then they can map out the next 2 weeks into when they play in the divisional round against somebody who plays next weekend on Wild Card Weekend. Now the Xbox One post-game show will take its final break, and we'll be back, and Paul Perillo will break down everything you need to know before you go into the bye week. Peace out.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Xbox One Patriots post-game show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show.
Back here at the Xbox One post-game show, apparently Paul Perillo is just going to take the rest of the show off. I am Andy Hart. I'm not sitting in front of a computer, so I won't be getting calls and emails for the next few minutes in this program.
We only got 5 minutes left anyway.
We'll just fill out 5 minutes with more discussion of what exactly transpired here at Gillette Stadium today. Patriots fall 17-9 to the Buffalo Bills. A lot of negative streaks, or a lot of positive streaks, came to a negative end for the Patriots. 35 straight at home against AFC regular season opponents. 17 straight, I believe it was, against AFC East opponents at home, regular season. Buffalo Bills won their first ever game at Gillette Stadium. Blah, blah, blah. But more importantly, the Patriots stayed seemingly relatively healthy. Tom Brady started, played the first half, struggled a bit, but got the hell out without getting hurt. On defense, Darrell Revis started, didn't play great, gave up a long catch to Sammy Watkins, but got the hell out without getting hurt. And Rob Gronkowski did not play, inactive. Bill Belichick said in a post-game, a rare post-game conference call, that they basically managed the situation with the inactives to give some guys who hadn't played a lot a chance to play, and that might benefit them down the line. We saw more of Tim Wright today. Whether that will benefit him or not, I am not sure. He had a horrific drop at one point, took a big hit at another point, drawing a flag. But the Patriots got the job done in terms of staying healthy. Plenty of questions heading into the bye week. Patriots will find out tonight whether they will play the divisional round here at Gillette Stadium on January 10th or 11th, when the rest of the playoff scenarios play out across the National Football League. And one update on a game I know everybody is watching. Carolina Panthers are pulling away from the overmatched Atlanta Falcons. Panthers will have a losing 7-win record and clinch the NFC South playoff positioning. And it's an ugly situation when your playoff teams have 7 wins, but it is what it is. Patriots moving forward. Biggest concern, as we've talked about in the first 2 hours of this show, the offensive line. Fans are not happy. ex-Patriots offensive lineman named Dan Copen are not happy. I think if you got some truth serum, Tom Brady not happy with the protection he got. Certainly Jimmy Garoppolo was not happy with the protection he got in the second half. And that's what the Patriots will focus on over the next 2 weeks, getting healthy up front so Sebastian Vollmer can play, so Dan Conley can play, and so Nate Solder can play at his best, whatever that is, heading into the postseason. But that music means one thing. The regular season is over. The Patriots are the number one seed. They are the favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the American Football Conference, and nothing that happened on Gillette Stadium turf today will change that situation. Patriots will host the lowest remaining seed from Wild Card Weekend in 2 weeks here at Gillette Stadium, and that squeaking sound you heard was Paul Perillo stepping to the microphone, because of course,
thank you, Andy.
He can go a half hour without talking, but he wants to get his last word in.
I just wanted to thank you for doing a great job of hooking me up.
And
when
we return to the air in 2 weeks, because obviously there's no pregame social and postgame show when there's no game to talk about, Mark Bertrand will hopefully be back in the host chair so Paul and I can go at it and continue to argue whether, if the Seahawks play their best game and the Patriots play their best game, who should win the Super Bowl when those two teams meet in Arizona. But that card is ahead of the horse.
Seattle shut out at home by the Rams in the first half.
Told you, if the Patriots played their best game, they would win the Super Bowl regardless of what the Seahawks do. But that's a couple weeks away, even though the Boston Globe had a section today on what to do in Arizona while not just watching the game. But that's a topic for a different day. For Paul Perillo, for Kevin behind the glass, he didn't screw up too much today. Did a great job bringing Mike Rodak down from the press box. We appreciate him joining us. Thank you for cutting up Bill Belichick on the fly there with his conference call. Thanks to Tom Brady for joining us. No player guest, of course, because they didn't win. But we wrap up the regular season on the Xbox One postgame show without Mark the Beetle Bertrand. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Enjoy Wild Card Weekend. Sit back and enjoy some stress-free football. Peace out.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Brady pulls away from center. Deep drop by Tom. Pump right. Fires down the middle. Gronk has it. Touchdown, Patriots. A dagger from Brady.
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.